Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast.
Hey, Louise. Great to have you on the podcast. I want to introduce everyone to Louise Johnston. Louise and I went to school together many, many years ago. I don't even know how long that is now. Probably 15, 20, 30 years maybe. Must be pushing on 30. But I've brought Louise on today as part of our Strong Women Month. Louise is a multiple business owner, is a lecturer, and owns a little portfolio of short-term, long-term rental properties. But what I want to do is I want to let Louise really introduce herself and tell us a little bit about who is Louise Johnston.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me. It was 20 years ago when we went to school together, just to pick you up on that, plus that. So we're on the wrong side of it now. I'm Louise Johnston. I am 39. I've got 7 weeks to go to the big 4-0. I'm hanging on to that dearly. As you said, I am a part-time lecturer for NRC in Ballymena. And I also, for the last 10 years, have been self-employed. I own three accommodations businesses in Belfast, which range from hostels to guest houses. And also, we have a property portfolio of short and long-term lets, which we've had for a very long time. I'm a mom of two very lively boys. And some may say that's the hardest job. But life has been very busy for the last 10 years, but also very rewarding.
Okay,
so during COVID, go ahead.
Yeah, just in terms of being self-employed, have you always been self-employed? How did you come to be self-employed, or where did you start?
So for 14 years after I left school, I went to work for NIE, and I was a business analyst there for 14 years. I really enjoyed the job at the start. It had great pension, about 19%, sick pay, holiday pay, all the perks, 8-hour day, of which production-wise was probably about 5.5 to 6. So stereotypically on paper, it was fantastic. However, at the latter part of my career there, I had a very toxic manager. And that manager made the experience, not only my experience, but lots of other people's experience, not very pleasant. So in the latter part of it, I wasn't overly happy with it. I became a mum, and at that stage I was starting to think of a career change, but I was brainwashed at that stage into thinking that I had a car, I had a mortgage, I had a house, I had a child, probably had an overdraft too, like everybody else. And I had to stay in this job, whether I liked it or not, because on the 29th of every month, 28th, whatever it was, I had X number of pounds going in and I had X number going out. So I was stuck, I suppose. So that was in the latter part of 2011. I was starting to feel the effects of it. I was going to work every day, putting my child in childcare for from 7:30 in the morning to 5:30 at night. I was paying upwards of £700 for it. Didn't like standard care, didn't like myself for leaving him, and spent on average an hour a day with him. So things were starting to creep in at that stage. I was still young, was 28, 29-ish. Again, the feeling of being trapped, looking back at that stage was very heavy. I played a lot on my mind, but I didn't have the balls, for want of a better word, at that stage to actually do something about it. So in January of 2012, my dad, who's 56, we're a very close family, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So obviously we were devastated, and we were told that he had approximately 6 to 9 months with treatment. So he commenced chemo and so on. However, he was diagnosed at the beginning of January, and he sadly died in April. So we had about just shy of 3 months. I think it was 11 weeks. At that stage, whenever he was ill, I had applied for part-time work, spend a bit more time with him, and just spend a bit more time with my son, my mom, etc. And it was declined. So after 14 years in an organization where I worked hard, I always worked hard, I'm a hard worker, turned up on time, showed up, gave it my best, got results, it was declined. I then applied for a career break, didn't know what I was going to do, didn't know how I was going to pay the bills, I just needed, all I knew was I needed a break, just even 6 months, I needed a break. But said toxic boss at the time, it was declined, it was personal reasons, she didn't want me to leave, and it just got to the stage where I thought, I can't have this. My dad sadly passed away, and I was very much resentful because during the treatment days, whenever he was getting those, I had applied for lesser hours and to spend more time with him, and it wasn't granted. That's a massive regret at that stage that I didn't actually just walk away. But again, the feeling of entrapment, the feeling of, you know, what's society going to say? How are you going to pay your mortgage? How are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to feed your child? What are you going to do? So just at that point in time, whenever it became so toxic that I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating, I didn't know what to do, my husband came home one day and said that he had found a business. We have been in property, buying small properties and renting them out for about 15 years anyway. So we weren't new to the game. It wasn't a particularly great income given 2007. There was, you know, there was the property crisis and so on. So like anybody else in property at that stage, if you were holding your own, you were lucky. So he came home and he said, you know, this business has become available. It's a bed and breakfast. This could be it. You know, what do you think? And admittedly, I didn't think it through at that stage because I was so desperate just to get out of the situation that I was in. And I remember thinking to myself, sitting at the kitchen table, and I was thinking, I'm a smart girl. I can own a bed and breakfast. There's nothing to it. Like, make a couple of beds and, you know, have a chat to a couple of guests. This is great. This is going to be a holiday and I'm going to make money. So we went ahead. It was a big gamble, very big gamble. Had my resignation in, quite proudly, I have to add. And got the keys about 3 weeks later, drove to Belfast with my husband. I'd never seen it, hadn't been inside it, knew absolutely nothing about it. And whenever we pulled up outside, I could feel my heart sinking, thinking, oh my God, this place is massive. What is this? What have I done? So it transpired, it was a 27-room bed and breakfast, which needed a full refurbishment. I stood on the third floor and I cried. I was thinking, what the fuck have I done? Sorry, Paul. What have I done? What is society going to think of me now? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I ever going to redecorate this place? I don't even know how to redecorate. So very long story short, anyway, after couple of glasses of wine that night, I've decided, you know, okay, so this is it, this is the opportunity. Not many people get this opportunity. You've got it, you need to do something about it. So the next day I changed my tune. I was met with a lot of negativity along the way. Generally was, you know, what are you doing? Why have you walked away from this job? Why have you given up your good job? What society says is a great job. You know, for me it was prison, it was hell. They didn't say I cried in the toilets every lunchtime. I hated the place. But you know what? This is a great pension. You have a great package. You know, I sold my soul for 4 years. My time was exchanging my time for money. But I wasn't happy.
And you know, I obviously get that. You know, very similar experience to myself. The last few years, walking away from the government job and the pension. And you know, we do spend so much of our lives living a life that others expect of us, and we get conditioned in that way. conditioned in that way, and then it is very difficult to move, and there's a lot of anxiety around that, because we think that, yeah, well, you know, this is what I do, this is what this means, and if I can't walk away from this, for, you know, and one of the first things is always what people think, and then obviously the second thing is how am I going to make it. But I mean, it sounds like you had even within NIE, a very busy life. Was there any me time in there?
There was, well, at that stage, there was, to be fair. Me time was the evenings and the weekends. The evenings, essentially, 8 o'clock onwards. And the weekends, I worked Monday to Friday. So I had Saturday, Sunday. How much of it I enjoyed, I don't know. Because, like anybody else who didn't like their job, I spent the whole time on Sunday, dreading going to work on Monday. You know, Saturday was fine because, you know, I didn't have to go there the following day. But there was a bit, there was a lot more than there was in the next and in the last 10 years.
So what's changed? Like, why have you, obviously from a point of view of you weren't happy with what you were doing in NIE, and then you've taken on your businesses and multiple businesses, and now the part-time lecturing, and there isn't that me time now. There, why is that? Why have you let that go?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's 10 years ago now from we bought that first bed and breakfast. We still have it. Taking COVID aside, it's a very successful business. It's growing year on year. However, it is still continues to be at the minute. It's a full-time job. The phone never stops. My phone is rang 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. I've been there constantly. The buck stops with me. We are the bosses, myself and my husband. That's it. There's nobody else. There's no team. There's no HR people. You know, if there's a problem, staff come to us. They don't care if I'm having a Sunday dinner. They don't care if I'm out. It's my birthday and I'm in the pub with me. They need an answer, and I'm the only one that can give them the answer. So ironically, self-love and self-care, while I was growing the business, that day standing in the hall, and I was crying that day, I only thought that was difficult. The next 4 years was, some days I said was, would have said was hell, but it was hell in a very different way, Paul, because do you know what? It was me. I was in control. As much as I had no time to myself, my son, my two-year-old son, and I slept in what was the old laundry room for a week, because initially we couldn't afford to pay staff. You know, initially we didn't know the business. We had no online presence. We didn't know. We were completely new to this. I was a business analyst. I'd never ran any type of hospitality or accommodation business. So we didn't know. So the sacrifices and the self-doubt, everything else for the next 4 years was manifested. It was massive. However, looking back, I think the reason I was able to cope with it was because it was mine. And slowly we started to see the rewards. And for me, obviously there was a financial reward there as the business started to grow and we started to make money and we got staff and so on. But for me, just quite simply, the personal rewards were twofold. And from that point onwards, living through the criticism, living through what society thinks you should be, living through being able to walk around a shop and think, so I can't afford this, I can't afford that. This is groceries, you know, I can't afford this, I can't afford that. But I've got this massive building in Belfast, you know. The fact that I have dealt with all those things and dealt with them successfully. Now, by being successful, I mean I didn't have a complete mental breakdown. I'm still here, I'm still standing, I'm still growing, and I'm still resilient. So for me, I think, yes, there was no self-care. And looking back, I wish there had been a bit more. But the lack of that is what has taught me some of the biggest lessons in life. You know, whenever you're down and you're essentially, you feel like you're in hell, you don't know how you're getting out of this. There's problems and there's questions and, you know, what's about this, what about that? If you can deal with that, and for me personally, I was able to deal with that twofold and continue to deal with it and continue to successfully deal with it myself, without anything else or any other one or any network, with the exception of my husband, because he was going through the same thing, and there's only the two of us. That is what made me who I am now. I was busy back then in NIE. I was even busier for the first 5 years of the business. Today, people say to me, why have you taken on a lecturing job? Or, you know, why are you doing X, Y, and Z when you've got these businesses and you've got kids and you've got everything else? But for me, it's just every day is a growing process, you know, and even starting with the lecturing, which I'm reasonably new to just from last year, what I have learned from that has been unreal. I think we had this conversation before I was chatting to you. It's just what I have learned from other people, what I've learned from the students, what I've learned from colleagues and everything else. You know, it's a whole new thing for me too, which is great. You know, you can never ever put a price on it. I'll always revert back to property and accommodations. That's my baby. That's where I've been for 10 years. I know it with my eyes shut, I can do it. I'm good at it. But I think it's also good to be able to do something else too, which is taking me away, you know, from the 9 to 5 of hospitality. There is no 9 to 5 for me. It's 24. So, but I love it. I love it really. So that's why I'm still here. A few more wrinkles, a few grey hairs. But yeah, I wouldn't work anywhere else now, I have to say.
And what do you do, if you can, nowadays to relax?
So my sister owns actually a gym, a fitness studio in Ballymena. So I was always keen on a bit of the old training, as you know yourself. I think you're a bit keen on it too, are you? Sometimes.
Used to be.
For me, it's an outlet, it's a hobby. That's simply it. And because she was running her business, and obviously she couldn't be there all the time, so she kindly put me through my fitness exams along the years. And it just means that I can help her out, and I really enjoy it. It's the outlet for me. It's the hobby. It's the after I've had a really busy day at work, I've had questions thrown at me, I've had guests complaining, I've had staff complaining, no matter what has happened, I literally will make time to go to a kettlebell class, I'll go to a gym class, I'll go and lift some weights with my friend. That for me is the form of release. That for me now, looking back, is my self-care and my self-love. You know, it's not I need time out, I need to go to a darker room for an hour, or I need a break, or I need 3 days off. I never done that. I worked a 16-hour day and then went and trained for an hour. That was it in a roundabout way. So,
but now you're making the time for that, you know, that time to switch off a little bit more.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, COVID, whenever COVID obviously came along last summer, as you know, hospitality industry was one of the biggest hits. You know, at one stage we were floating over 120 beds per night in Belfast, and that dramatically went overnight, obviously to very few because of the lack of travel and so on. However, we were able to refocus the business, and we were able to redesign a few things, and we've been lucky that we have been able to continue training for key workers. We've made some adaptions and so on to the premises, and that is about sustainability. You know, so at that stage, obviously, we had to make a decision, what do? We close? Do we risk losing our businesses? Or, you know, very quickly, do we sit down, we refocus, we readapt, we move forward? And that's what we've done. And again, it was just my husband Colin and myself. With no direction from anybody else, and which is fine because the whole world was up in arms. Nobody knew, nobody had any direction to give anybody. So thankfully, the last 10 years of expertise really did come to the bar there, because we were able to do that, and we were able to do it successfully. And, you know, very quickly, I think for anybody in hospitality, it came about, it became about sustainability. At that stage, you know, this is going to be over at some stage, you know, at that, you know, what are we going to have? How are we going to focus? How are we going to continue moving forward? And ultimately, I've got two kids. How are we going to continue to provide for our children? How are we going to, you know, pay our bills and everything else? So thankfully, the experience and the hard days and the long nights and everything else have paid off. And we're still here, we're still standing. And at that stage, when I did have a bit more time on my hands, the first 3 weeks, I was like a lost sheep. did not know what to do. I was just, I think I walked about 5 miles a day. I was running, I was training with a wee bit of a gym in the garage. I didn't know what to do because for the first time in probably 10 years, I had all this time on my hands. So it was like every other mommy in the country, you're clearing out wardrobes and, you know, you're tidying toys and everything else. But at that stage, it was just completely unknown to me. How do I relax? What is this? You know, what's Netflix? The only thing up until that I'd watched on TV was Paw Patrol or Peppa Pig or YouTube. You know, when the kids were watching, I never watched TV. Never ever watched TV until last year. Always listened to podcasts and stuff, which I still continue to do. Listen to like the Tony Robbins and so on. I've done that for years and years and years. So I was always doing that, you know, so I was always seeking information, but never watched the TV, never took anything off the TV, read the news.
The aspect that's really important there for me, not just as a business owner, but as somebody who works with business owners, like a lot of my clients have in the PT business have been affected massively by COVID, health and beauty, hair, makeup, nails, massage therapy, so many more businesses who have had to shut their doors. But what I love about what you've talked about there is, you know, seeking that sustainability and looking for an opportunity. And it may not be an opportunity for massive growth, but it's definitely an opportunity to keep going and to provide, rather than having to rely on what is not being provided by the government, etc. But
you're right.
You know, and that's what I've tried to get across to some clients too. You know, in their businesses. Now this has been a time that we should be recognizing a need for additional streams of revenue that are not solely relying upon us being physically open. So we have to look at how we can serve our industry, serve our clients, and serve our customers in a way that is not tied down to our doors having to be open. You know, obviously in your case, that's very difficult considering somebody's probably normally got to sleep in a bed in order for you to get money from that. So I don't know if there's an opportunity for virtual stays, if maybe that's something that's going to come in the future. But, you know, you have weathered the storm and adapted, looking and taking the opportunity to sustain, because sustaining and fighting through that means that you are on a stable platform for whenever things do open up, and they will. And you guys will be there and ready to go into full flow. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, no, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It definitely is. It's about sustainability and, you know, sort of paving the way, because it will open again at the minute, the way, you know, the roadmaps are up in the air and so on. But I'm hoping around the beginning of June, we will start to see tourism, we'll start to see some of the travel restrictions lifted again, and start to see the tourists coming back slowly but surely. But our priority was definitely this time last year, what do we need to do? Because as you say, our service is totally in-house. You know, there's nothing we can do. You know, I can't sell you a virtual bed. You know, I can't sell you, you know, a weekend in Belfast.
That's my idea, by the way. If the idea of virtual beds come in, like, I want some commission on that.
Well, we can talk about that. You fill the guest houses, they'll sort you with commission. But no, I think, you know, very quickly we realised that was the case, and we realised this is going to go on for a year. This is not going away, you know, in June 2020. This is not going away. How do we keep a hold of the bricks and mortar? How do we keep a hold of the businesses? What do we do? What do we do with our staff? We had in around 30 staff at that stage too. A lot of those staff are, you know, are essentially, they're working week to week and so on, and they have young families and they rely on their jobs. So I personally felt responsible. I didn't want anybody out of a job. the government did provide obviously a few helps and incentives with the furlough scheme as well, but thankfully we were able to retain everybody's job. Nobody lost their job, and everybody's still with us. We have a great team, and I think, you know, they're very thankful as well that they've still got a job to go back to whenever it essentially opens up again. But we refocused, and we had to do obviously we had to make some logistical changes. We had to make some structural changes, just to allow for COVID and safe, you know, like safeguarding everybody and social distancing and like automatic check-in and stuff like that. So we did we had to take a hit essentially or initially on sort of the financial side of that. And at that stage, even that decision is, okay, do I spend all this money making this process happen in order for us to live in the now? We don't know how long the now is going to last. The now could last 6 months. The now could last 2 years. You know, do we make this investment, which at the time was quite hefty, because bearing in mind you had the screens to go up, you had the locks to go on, you had the self-check-in, the door lock, you know, everything. It was big. You know, so there was lots of tricky decisions to be made at that stage too. You know, do we do this, you know, to sustain, or do we do this and risk losing this spot? You know, or where do we go? You know, what do we do? And you're right in what you say. There's very little financial incentives. As company directors, I don't know if you've been following it, Martin Lewis talks a lot about it, but as company directors, like, we had zero financial help, you know, which I think is a bit of a disgrace, to be honest, but that's neither here nor there. But we are where we are. And thankfully, we're still in business, and I'm still trucking on. And the timing worked well, because you were asking me previously about being at home. The first 3 days when I was at home, or first 3 weeks when I was at home, I just didn't know what to do. It was like, it was just so alien to me not to be on the go 24/7. But for me, COVID has definitely taught me how to relax a wee bit more. There's a lot more time now, there's a bit of self-care. And then lo and behold, the opportunity for the lecturer's register came up, and I didn't think it was ever something that would be for me, or B, that I would actually you know, be able to fulfill it and get a place on it. But I saw the advertisement, and I spoke to a couple of colleagues, and they were like, yeah, go for it. So I did. The whole process took about 3 months. And then that started just the third quarter of 2020. So it actually, the timing worked really well for me in one way, you know, because it gave me a new focus, and it's given me a whole new set of skills, and, you know, it's given me new studies, and I've met new people and so on, whilst I'm still maintaining what I have in Belfast. And obviously, as you know, the academic year finishes in June. And I'm hoping that if the gods of timing lift the restrictions on time, I'll be ready to go from 0 to 100 again in Belfast. So, but yeah, it's been fun. I've got to spend a lot more time with my kids, which has been amazing, to be honest with you. I think, like every parent in the country, as much as you really, really, really appreciate them, we're glad to see them back to school too.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. And I'm definitely looking forward to that day very shortly. I think by the time this podcast airs, I think they will be back. And if they're not, I'm going to just get kicked out. But I've one last question for you before we go. And I think hopefully you'll be able to answer it easier now than maybe 18 months ago, but how would you describe a perfect day for you? What would your perfect day consist of?
Well, that's a really good question, actually. I like that. I think I might take this question into the classroom just as an FYI as well. Okay, perfect day for me is sun be shining. Okay, like a bit of sunshine. Waking up around 6:37. Have two coffees, not one, two coffees. Read the news on my phone, laptop, whatever. Go to bed. Have my kids up. Have our breakfast together. Drop the kids to wherever they're going. I go to work. Enjoy what I do all day, which you do 90% of the time. Come home, have dinner with my family, and then relax with the kids and have a glass of wine, or a bit of training for an hour in between, and then have a glass of wine and take myself off to bed. It's a bit of an easy life, you know.
And, you know, I think by the sounds of it and what you've talked about today, that is something that is part of your life now, again, and that you can and you do get to do that, which is important. And for me, that is self-care. There's time management in there. You know, there's work in there. There's family in there. There's caffeine in there, which is obviously important. And there's kids at school, which is very important.
Don't forget the alcohol.
Well, you say wine, I say Jack.
We'll disagree on that.
The same kind of thing. But okay, awesome. So thank you very much for coming on. And I know I'll see you in a week or two whenever I'm back down with you guys. Yeah. The college, Princess Trust. So brilliant. Thank you for your time.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I will talk to you soon.
No problem. Take care, PK. See you later.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.